That's why we come. That's why we celebrate together, is for Christ, for his presence. Whew. We're in a series. We're finishing up a series this month. We could go on and on and on, because this concept of a cross-shaped life is not just a series and then we move on and we just kind of like, that was great. The reality is that this is a lifestyle. This is what we are called to live. And we're called to die as well. Today we're going to be talking about risen with purpose, the power of the resurrection, and what that does in our lives today. All right. When you leave today, I purchased these bracelets. I don't know if you can see them. They're different colors. They're a little rope with some black, and it's got a cross on it. And when you leave today, whatever time you leave, depending on how the altar time goes, grab one of those, and I want you to wear it. It's a great reminder. I wear lots of different things as reminders of how I need to live, reminders of what the Lord has called me to, and they just help. And I'll tell you this, they also give openings and opportunities for conversations with people. Often when I wear my Rockside shirt, I was just at Verizon this week upgrading my phone, which needed to be done a long time ago. And I met a young man, and we had a great conversation. And over the time of upgrading, you all know how long that takes when you go, right? It's not like a 10-minute thing. But over this really long time, we're talking, and I got my Rockside shirt on, and he's like asking questions about it. He's saying, yeah, I've been needing to get to church, and my brother used to be in ministry. So we had this beautiful conversation because I had something on me that I was wearing that was opening that conversation. So I just want to encourage you guys, wear your shirts, wear bracelets, this kind of stuff. It helps. I invited this young man to church. I was hoping he'd be here today. That's okay. You know, maybe another time. But again, our opportunity, our job is to shine the light to the world, right? And some of us, our personalities are evangelists. So you just walk up to somebody and you're just like, hey, let me tell you about Jesus, right? Some of you in the room, that's just how it is. For others of us, you need a little help. You need a little t-shirt or a little bracelet to kind of help start the conversation. Anybody? Okay. So when you leave today, make sure you grab one of those. I'll tell you, it just helps me. When I put on, I have a cross bracelet. When I put it on, I say, okay, Lord, help me today. Help me in this moment. Help me this afternoon. Because, you know, sometimes you can't just pray the one prayer. You have to keep praying it throughout the day because you need his grace. Amen? You need his strength. All right, well, we're going to get into scripture today. I want us to look at this scripture that's well known, John 10:10. Many of you know the scripture. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, destroy. Three things, all right? The enemy, Satan, whatever you want to call him, his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. So wherever you see those things going on, that obviously that's the enemy, right? My purpose, of course, this is Jesus. Jesus' purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Some versions say life more abundantly, life to the full. Guys, that is how we are to be living, operating our everyday life, is to life to the full. But many of us are not living that way. We're living bound, we're living depressed and anxious, overwhelmed, chaotic. None of you deal with that? Right? Many of us are living in that space when this is the intention for us to be living a life and life to the full. So what does that mean to live a life more abundantly? It means we have to live this resurrected life. We have to operate in the power that comes from Christ and live in that resurrected life. That's the life that brings dead things back to life. Anybody in here got some dead things going on in your life that need to be brought back to life? Maybe a dream. Maybe it was a job. Maybe it was purpose. Maybe it's a relationship. There's no hope. Dead, done, and you need Jesus to resurrect that. That's what we're talking about today. Risen with purpose. He brings dead things to life and leads to a fruitful, spirit-empowered living. That's the intent of this Christ-following walk. All right? But just like we've talked today, it takes the cross. It takes surrender. It takes dying to what we are used to in this culture, right? Have you ever seen something that looked completely lifeless, like it may be a plant in here, right? Maybe you've seen it's beyond recovery. We often do that with our lives, right? We just look at it and we say, oh, you know what? That's dead. Just going to move on, right? It's over. But Jesus shows us that death is not the end when he's involved. The empty tomb wasn't just a miracle, you guys. It was a message, all right? Yes, it was a miracle, obviously. Jesus was crucified. He literally died. He was literally buried and then literally was brought back to life. So yes, absolutely 100% a miracle, but it was also a message. And that message is to us today. The message is to you today. What was dead can live again. Amen? Say that to your neighbor. What was dead can live again. What was dead can live again. I know for some of you, you have given up hope in whatever area that is. You don't see a way out. But we are risen with purpose. We're not just forgiven, we're called, we're empowered, and we're sent. I don't know if you guys can see all the way on this other side of the room, but there's this tree over here. We've talked about it before. It's been here since the founding of this church. It was given by another church to this church, and it's grown up, you know, all these years, 22, 23 years. And I guess these things are only supposed to live like 10 years. And it's gone through a lot. There was a point where we were looking at it. We were like, do we just get rid of it? Do we, you know? And Chuck and I brought it home. Was it last year or the year before? I can't remember. 2 years ago. 2 years ago, we brought it home like over Christmas break. And we were like, let's see if we can help. Well, I should say Chuck did. We always joke because we talk about we. He's really like, you mean like the we with the M, meaning me? And I'm like, yes, that we. Yes. But anyways, we did bring it home, but then he looked up like how to take care of it. He repotted it, put it in a new container with fresh soil, and of course trimmed it, you know, just all the things. And so we had it at the house for a while, and it was like starting to do well and like respond. And the other crazy thing about this tree, you're going to have to look at it at some point. Obviously, Pastor Donna Barrett, who founded this church, she was the pastor here before me. And then now I've been here 7 years, going to be going on in 8. But if you look at the tree, there's 2 completely different colors of leaves, which is very odd and awkward, all right? The lighter color was the original, and the dark green that's growing this way has been new since I've been here. I don't know. It's just interesting. So anyways, we brought it back, and this thing, even though it's a little weird looking, right? Trees are supposed to go up, and It came back to life and like growing and doing. We thought it was going to be over, and it's come back to life because it was nurtured, repotted, cared for. He comes in and spritzes it and pours water in it and like tends to it, cares for it, right? That's the same thing with our relationship with Jesus, our relationship with others. Like, you got to tend to it. You got to care for it. You got to do what you need to do. Otherwise, it'll just die, right? So God is the God that restores. He's the one that brings dead things back to life. Amen? Amen? So we're talking about the power of the resurrection today, and there's going to be 3 main points that we're going to talk about. The first thing is this. The power of the resurrection revives dead things. Just period. Revives dead things. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. We're going to look at some different scriptures today. You guys doing good? Yes. All right. I love it. Romans 6, 4 through 8. All right. It says this, "For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives." Yes. That's awesome. Because of what Christ has done, died and rose again, we can live new lives. Verse 5, since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. Amen? That means you don't have to stay in addiction. You don't have to stay in the issues. You don't have to stay in your sin, because what Christ did, he nailed all that stuff on the cross. And because we have access to that, we don't have to live in it either. Is anybody else excited about that and so grateful? Oh my goodness, I don't have to be stuck in my sin. Thank you, Lord. We will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin may lose its power. Some of you in here, the sin in your life, you've given it too much power. And you need to lay it at the cross. In the name of Jesus, speak the name of Jesus over that and say, no, Jesus has won the victory. The power of the cross enables me to be free and raised to life with him. So sin might lose its power. We are no longer slaves to sin. Bless you. For when he died with Christ, we were set free. Sorry, today I'm just a little unhinged today. So I apologize. I got a new mic. I'm feeling a little free. So this is amazing. Yeah, can we just give Gary Holsoppel a hand clap? Because this, I'm telling you, you may not understand this, but this other mic that I had was hurting my ear, and every week I'm trying to squeeze it so it'd stay on and it wouldn't fit, and I would get like pains in my ear. And so this thing is so light, it doesn't even hurt. I'm feeling amazing, and so that stuff matters. So, okay, back to what we're talking about. And since we died with Christ, we will also now live with him. Such a beautiful thing, all right? Paul is writing to the believers in Rome, right? Many of whom were Gentiles living under Rome oppression, and they were surrounded by idolatry at that time. You see, in Rome at the time, baptism wasn't just symbolic. Like now, baptism is symbolic, right, for us? But it was a declaration back then of total loyalty to Jesus, often at a personal cost, all right? When Paul says we died and were buried with Christ, he's using baptism as a metaphor for salvation. In the early church, baptism was a public act of death and resurrection, leaving the old life behind and embracing the new resurrection, the power, life that comes from Christ. Now, we do baptism today, and absolutely, is it symbolic? Yes, of what Christ did. We go under the water, symbolizing dying, right? Coming back to that new life. Absolutely, there's power in that. But it's a new life. It's not a partial life. It's not a recycled life. It's a brand new life made possible only because of the resurrection of Jesus. So how does it revive dead things? It brings spiritual revival. Do we need spiritual revival? Anybody? Do we need it in our country? Do we need it in our world? Yes, yes, yes. Turn with me to Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. Spiritual renewal. You guys got your Bibles with you or their phones? All right, Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world. I like how it says you used to. Doesn't that feel good? Like, once you know Christ, like, I used to do that. Thank you, Jesus. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. That's what we're seeing in the world around us, right? That's the enemy at work in people's hearts. People often go, well, how are these things happen? How did this police officer get shot? You know, people ask these questions when tragedy happens. Because there's real evil in the world. The enemy is roaming around, seeking who he can devour, steal, kill, destroy, right? So that's there. Christ has given us the ability to be free. The enemy, the commander of the powers of the unseen world, he is the spirit at work in the hearts of those, that's key, who refuse to obey God. So when you run into folks who refuse to obey what God is saying, it's not your time to go at bat with them and try to have these conversations. And at that point, you just need to love them and pray for them, because they're refusing to obey God. Their heart, the enemy has their heart. So it ain't gonna matter what you say, argue with them, try to get them told. No. Let the love of Jesus do that work. Resurrection power refers to how Jesus' resurrection brings new life to those who believe. Do you need new life today somewhere? It means that God can take someone who's lost, broken, or hopeless and give them new life, a new heart, a new purpose. And that's anyone. The hardest heart, the love of Jesus covers a multitude of sins. And his power and his resurrection can melt the hardest heart. It also brings restoration of what seems lost. This can mean that God revives things in your life that seem dead, like a broken relationship, failed dream, I'm going to say it many times, a lost hope, or even a lost sense of purpose. Because some of you connect to those things. It points to the miraculous, the restoring power of God, who can bring healing and new beginnings where there seems to be only loss and failure. The next thing we're going to talk about, it defines our purpose. Resurrection power redefines our purpose. Turn with me to Colossians. Thank you. It revives dead things. It redefines our purpose. It says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, key, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden. Thanks for helping me with that. I didn't turn to it. With Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So here we go, verse 5. So put to death, all right, so our job, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of, right? Here's where our job comes. Get rid of, Jesus help us, anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature. Put on clothes. Everybody wore clothes today. Thank you. You put them on, right? Put on your new nature, right? When you receive Christ, you got a new nature. So your identity, who you were before, is gone. Whatever that is, whatever you claimed was your identity before Jesus, once you know Jesus, now you put on his, right? Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. That scripture you need to go back to later on this week and go back through it, because in there you can pray those different things. Lord, help me. Help me get rid of this stuff. I got so much anger in my heart. I'm mad. I'm upset. I'm hurt. I'm broken. Whatever. Whatever there is. There's so much in there that we deal with on a daily basis. We need his help to get rid of that stuff. We need his help to bring it to the altar and lay it at his feet and leave it there. The resurrection power helps us redefine our purpose. Paul's writing to the church of Colossae, a group that's battling false teaching, a mix of Jewish legalism at the time and some mysticism. They were denying the importance of the physical resurrection. Paul doesn't just defend the resurrection. He connects it directly to how we should now live. All right? That's so important. If you've been raised with Christ, don't keep looking at the earthly things. Look up. Shift your focus. Get your eyes off of yourself and your own things and get your eyes on Christ. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen? This resurrection power brings a new identity in Christ. Some of you need that today. You need to know it. You need to walk in it. 2 Corinthians 5:17, another familiar scripture. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has come. Anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The old is gone, the new has come. Some of you in here today, you need to forgive yourself. You need to let that new be a reality. You're forgiven, you know that, but yet you hold yourself at bay. You haven't forgiven your own self of those things that you did wrong and whatever before Christ. You got to forgive yourself and let Jesus, just love and grace, roll over. You're a new creation. Just want that to set in. We no longer live for ourselves, but we live for him, the one who died and rose again. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says this. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. He died for everyone. Not just certain people, not just the ones that have it all together. He died for all of us. Scripture's really clear. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not one of us in here have it figured out more than the other. You guys get that? And the ground is level at the cross. Our purpose is no longer about self-fulfillment, but about God's glory and his kingdom work. Amen? Resurrection power gives us a call to reflect Christ. It doesn't just save us, but it transforms us to reflect him. We're called to walk in this resurrection life, overcoming sin, living in love, and being light in the darkness. We carry his power. You guys realize that? We bring healing to those around us. We can. And reconciliation to others. The next thing that it does is it brings hope that fuels purpose. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we have eternal hope. This changes everything. I don't know. It's just good. We don't live in fear. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in despair. Our purpose is not limited to this life or job or success. We can endure suffering and setbacks because we know that his resurrection guarantees the victory. When you see life from a heavenly perspective, you see it with purpose. And I think we all need to shift our perspective to be more heavenly, right? We're only here for a mist. Some of us will be here longer than others. You see, earthly disappointments lose their power when our eyes are fixed on the risen one, on the creator, the one who saved our soul. They still matter, and of course, he cares about us and how we feel, but they lose their power. You guys have seen a lifeguard, right, out at a pool, and if you've gone to, like, Kalahari and things, man, they have to walk. You know, if there's, like, a little pool, they have to walk back and forth, and they're constantly, you know, focused. They're not trained to stand still. They're trained to jump in, make sure everything's good. Likewise, God didn't raise you and I to just sit on the shoreline of life, right? We are raised to rescue. We're raised to be a part of what's going on in our community and our family and being aware of where people are. Oh, you're drowning. You need some help. Let me help you up, right? Just like that lifeguard is trained to watch and make sure that nobody drowns. Same with us, you guys. We are called to help rescue those that don't know Christ. We're raised to rescue, to reflect heaven on this earth. How's that going? How you doing? I have to ask myself that question all the time. And again, some of us, our personalities are more introverted, so that's a little scary, right? It's easier for some. You can ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And the third thing that resurrection power does is it releases spiritual power. Come on, somebody, right? Turn with me to John 11. You guys doing all right? Looking a little tired out there. It's okay. John 11. This is just good stuff. Familiar passage to some of you, right? The resurrection of Lazarus, but we're going to look at some of these scriptures. But the resurrection power, it releases spiritual power. John 11, we're going to look at 17, says, when Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would have not died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Verse 24, yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises. She's referring to, you know, when we all rise again later on in the world. At that last day, Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. This moment occurs just before Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. He knew, right? He says these words to Martha, who's grieving but still hopeful, right? What's powerful here is that Jesus doesn't say, I can resurrect him. He says, I am. I am the resurrection. I am the way. I am the truth. I am life. He is the embodiment of that. Isn't that incredible? It changes everything. When Jesus rose from the dead, he defeated not just physical death, but spiritual death, the sin that separates us from God and makes us fruitless. Is there sin separating you from God today in your own life? Let me tell you, the resurrection power, it's in us. If you know Jesus, you can have that same power. Romans 8:11 says, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Man, that should make you walk around a little bit different. Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me? Okay, that's pretty amazing. What does that mean? Well, you're not powerless. The power that raised Jesus is now working in and through you. That's humbling. You have power over sin and fear and spiritual bondage. Okay, we don't have to be bound to sin and the enemy. No. The power lives in us for that resurrection power. We have power to overcome sin and death. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 through 57 says, death is swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I love that verse, and Arabella, you mentioned it. We don't worship to have victory. We worship from a place of victory because Jesus already won it on the cross. That's just beautiful. The resurrection gives you power to say no to sin. You're not a slave to it anymore. Resurrection power gives you the ability to say no. Freedom from guilt and shame and condemnation. Victory over spiritual death, amen? His resurrection gives us power to live a new life. Romans 6:4 says, just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too might walk in the newness of life. That gives us power to love your enemies. It's not us, right? It's his resurrection power in us. Gives us power to live in joy and peace, even in trials. Power to live boldly for Christ. This is what the resurrection power does in our lives, if we allow it, if we walk in it. If we surrender to it, if we yield to it, right? All of this is available if you'll just yield. Power for ministry and miracles. Acts 1:8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We can't do any of this without the power of the Holy Spirit. That power helps us to be bold to witness. Power to pray with authority in the name of Jesus. Gifts of the Holy Spirit, healing and wisdom and discernment. This resurrection gives us power for inner transformation, makes real heart change possible. And you guys, that's where it starts. It starts in our hearts. Some of you in here, you need a heart transplant. You need some work done on your heart. You need a checkup. There's bitterness. There's unforgiveness. That needs to be laid at the cross. Jesus can heal that. He can take your heart of stone and turn it to a heart of flesh, Scripture says. Ephesians 1, 19 and 20 says, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. And that power lives in us if you know him as your Lord and Savior. Isn't that good news today? The Holy Spirit lives in you. You have victory over sin and fear and death. You're empowered for a new life and calling. You can live with boldness and love and spiritual authority. Sign me up. Right? Fruitfulness is not just about doing more, but it's living connected to the resurrected Jesus, you guys. John 15:5, and we'll close with this. Says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. You got to be connected to him. You got to abide in him. Plug in. Get renewed. Nothing else will matter. The cross-shaped life is not just about sacrifice, but it's about living the resurrected life. Asking the Lord to help you live that way. Just as a couple reminders, it revives dead things in you. It redefines your purpose on this earth. It releases supernatural power to live a fruitful life. We are all risen with Christ. You know him as your Lord and Savior. Now our job is to live like it. Amen? So yeah, whoever's coming to play, if you come, yep. We're going to, in a minute, we're going to respond and we're going to sing a song together as well. But let's stand to your feet and just close your eyes. I want to ask you a couple questions I want you to reflect upon. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just close your eyes. Just have a couple questions for you. In this moment as we reflect, and then we're going to sing together and respond to the Lord today. So ask yourself this question. All right, and this is between you and the Lord, all right? So what feels dead in your life right now that Christ wants to revive? All right, so just take a moment, reflect on that. What feels dead in your life that Christ wants to revive? Next question I want you to think about and ponder is this. Am I living with a heaven-focused mindset or more earthly? Are you focused more on heaven or more on the things of earth? Just again, just another thing to kind of check your heart. And the third question is this. Am I bearing fruit that reflects the resurrection life? Am I bearing fruit that reflects the resurrection life? So just take a moment, and you and Jesus, ask yourself those questions. Respond to the Lord in that moment. What feels dead in me that Christ wants to revive? Am I living with more of an earthly focus than in heaven? Am I bearing fruit that reflects a resurrected life? This moment, I just want to give an opportunity. One of the greatest things that can come back to life is for you to know Jesus. There might be someone here today, you haven't maybe said yes to Jesus. He's given you this invitation of salvation to know him as Christ and Lord, and maybe you have not taken that opportunity to invite him into your life and make him your Lord and Savior. You've been walking your own path and living your own life, and today you're saying, you know what? I want to make Jesus my Lord and Savior. So I can have eyes closed and heads bowed. We don't need to be looking around at each other. But in this moment, I'm talking to you, potentially, whether you're online or you're in this sanctuary. You've been doing it your own way, and it's not working. And Jesus invites you his way, the resurrected life, to know him as Savior and Lord. And I want to give you an opportunity to take today to accept Jesus into your heart, into your life. And if that's the case, will you just put your hand up for so that I can see it? I want to be able to pray with you in this moment. I'm going to give you an opportunity today to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you that you bring dead things to life. We thank you that what's been lost can be found.